You're listening to Annie Humphrey on KBOO Portland. This is 500 Years. And tonight, 7 p.m. is the time. And Combined Culture Radio is up next. Stay tuned, folks. This is your community radio station. This is KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a development director. This 32-hour-a-week position develops and implements the yearly fundraising plan, develops promotional and press materials, and supports the anti-oppression work of KBOO. Send a cover letter and resume to Delphine Crescenzo at del@kboo.org or send to KBOO Development Hire, 20 Southeast 8th, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Please answer in the cover letter the question, why is KBOO important? Deadline to apply is Sunday, November 25th at midnight. More information on the development director position is available at kboo.fm/developmenthire2018.
Gleaning is an organization that I think everyone from the president down to the lowest person in the United States should get into, to learn how to give and to receive.
That was Cookie Johnston, coordinator of the Marys River Gleaners in Corvallis, Oregon. You can hear more from Cookie and her colleagues in Episode 5 of Local Folks Podcast at kboo.fm. Go to audio, list of programs, podcast, web only, and click on Local Folks.
I am a sinner who's probably gonna sin again. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Trick don't kill my vibe. Trick don't kill my vibe.
I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink, I got my music, I will share it, but today I'm feeling. Trick don't kill my vibe. Trick don't kill my vibe. Trick don't kill my vibe. Trick don't kill my vibe.
Look inside of my soul and you can find gold and maybe get rich. Hold up, Trinidad James in 4 weeks, but now my album platinum and sh. So what, y'all keep the numbers. I'm more than another statistic, my this courtesy of Compton.
Courtesy of Compton.
Brooklyn go hard, motherfucker. Love me on the east like I'm Chuck D. Dominicans wish that I was born there. I'm looking to be the god MC. You look at my hat and see thorns there. I look at the game and see porn there. I'm fucking this industry hard. I'm back at this money, teabagging your honey. You thought I was fresh off the yard. Don't brag to me, tell me you're lightweight. They tell me you're nice and I'm lightweight. Go give me a knife, you're looking like steak. And when the stakes are high, I stake out for days. And when the water resides, you're probably full shape. But we ain't thirsty, never alert me. I got a B89 in a suitcase. I know you heard me, this is a burpee. Lyrical exercise, right now homie I'm in an extra vibe. Pipe down on the curb when you heard that I got these words to the upper echelon. That's echelon.
I am a sinner.
That's excellent.
Who's probably gonna sin again. Lord forgive me. Lord forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Trick don't kill my vibe. Trick don't kill my vibe.
I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink, I got my music, I will share it. But today I'm feeling. Trick don't kill my vibe. Trick don't kill my vibe. Trick don't kill my vibe. Trick don't kill my vibe.
Up in the clouds, me and my spouse. Rumors on the ground, getting too loud, please turn them shit down. Can't hear myself think. Turbulent shit, almost spilled my drink. In the whitest with a mink. Running through that like it's my house. All up in the hall like a mall. Told you my all I do is ball. No, I don't remember you, I don't intend to empty my memory bank. It's $1 million in it, baby. Hillary Swank. Sitting next to Hillary, smelling like dank. President departed, name one thing out there harder than him. I wait. I've been in my wave like 20 years straight. I've been on my vibe like 20 years straight. Don't fuck up my high. Fuck up my high. Nights like this, I can fuck up a pie and still be straight. Still be straight. Fall back, got a lot on my plate. Don't waste my breath. I don't know how many moves I got left. Back to this joint. Smoking this shit like I'm trying to prove a point. I'm the highest title, numero uno. Kill my fire, that's your mother funeral.
Between you and me, turn eulogy to urinals. Pissed off. I minister this generation, my fault. Leader of the new school. On my toes like a ballerina, who knew I'd be Black Swan? World in my palms, ironically, I am the glow shot as best, cause I didn't drop the ball. Told when I was 16 that I read a 16 to put it right on the big screen. In a paddy wagon with 16, should've been in the pen, but now my pen rang with morphine. I healed, touched down with morphines, I killed. Audio crack, cat keys to meal ticket. Cardio lap was running for dead life, but now I'm running the map. Picture little hoe me giving a fuck from what a fuck gotta say. Never be Jay, never be Nas, never be Snoop nor Dre. You ain't get killed in Vegas or in a Suburban. Puff Daddy wasn't your favorite. So many washed up with detergent, but I don't dry tears. I just aim at them on purpose like blah. Mini 14 like blah. Empty at another magazine like blah. Let a young guy get blah. I kill them all when they tryna kill my blah. I am the bad, the good guy, the last, the hood guy, the last that would try to pass a good job. It shines a Black Beetle, then I need a 10 second drum solo. See at Woodstock.
Hope you out of breath. Cool. Kind of out of breath. I'll wrap the whole thing. What's up, y'all? It's Come On Culture Radio. Episode unknown. I'm in the studio. I got Amantha here. And we got Tevin on the phone, our main host, you know, coming in after a few weeks off.
Yeah, man.
Hey, but you've been with the kids, you know, building our next generation. I appreciate that.
Hey, I'm still with the kids, bro.
Oh, man. Stay with the kids. All right. Pause. Man, it's been an interesting day for the most part. How was your day today, Tevin?
It's been an interesting day, bro. It's been an interesting 2 weeks.
Man, tell me about it.
You want me to tell you about it?
Yeah,
what's been going on?
Tell me about it, yeah.
Bruh, so, all right. So I feel like after the elections, bruh.
Okay.
I really do feel like it's been a conspiracy theory with the everything that's been going down in California.
Please do elaborate, like, on this, because I need to, you know, I'm always willing to shed an ear on some conspiracy theories, but I'm very hesitant to invest in them. So I do want to hear what you got to say. What's up?
I don't know, man. It's just how likely is it that, you know, after, you know, I guess the Democrats get a big win in the office where things are really, it's a sign of hope, it's a sign of change, and literally like 2 days after that, there's these huge California wildfires that is tearing things down and destroying houses and killing people, and then all of a sudden you have this mass shooting in Thousand Oaks, California as well. So I don't know, maybe it's just coincidence, but
what is the conspiracy? Like, do you think this is organized terrorism?
It just feels like those two events overshadowed the victory that was won in office.
I could see that. So who do you think is behind? Who do you think is behind this then?
Bro, it's the government. What do you mean who's behind it?
It's the government.
Yeah, G.
But like, yeah, who? Because there's two sides of the government. Like, you think?
Man, all I'm saying, it could be any of them, bro. I'm just saying it is way too much shit going down in the last 2 weeks.
Well, you know that, so that it's the most deadly fire in California history, and as of yesterday, I think it was, I don't know if it's gotten bigger, but they said yesterday the whole fire is the size of the city of Atlanta. Is bigger than it.
Wow.
It's bigger than the whole city of Atlanta.
That's crazy.
That's a
never
big city.
Now, let me ask you this, because you're the nature guy. Do you think it's because of global warming?
I would say I wouldn't put it in global warming's hands, just because how late it was. Because the fire, I'm pretty sure, started man-made. It was not that hot in
man-made.
That area.
Man-made.
Yeah, like...
Man-made.
No, like an accident.
Wow.
Cause
that is a bold statement.
Calm down, bro. I'm saying, because one of my homegirls at work, she is from that area, and her prediction is there was like some big college event in that area around the time that the fire started, and thinks that someone maybe forgot to put out fire, or like flicked a cigarette butt or something like that, because it's still dry down there. It just wasn't hot enough to like have a fire naturally happen. And then it was just a combination of all these bad things. Like, it was super windy and everything's still dry. And so that's just all the concoction you need, like all the elements you need to make a massive forest fire. Like, if you have high winds and everything's dry still, that thing's gonna grow. Like, as it grew fast, I remember they said the rate that it was growing was like 8 football fields per minute. You know how fast that is? That's fast, bro.
Per minute?
Per minute.
Wow.
8 football fields per minute. That's crazy.
That's scary.
It's very scary. I mean, people have been dying, like, because, you know, like, they're used to fires down there in California, but if you hear about it in one area, you're like, oh, it's not going to get here. Like, it was just going way faster, so, like, people weren't evacuating. They weren't evacuating places quick enough because no one knew it was going to spread this fast, and it's just been growing like crazy. I've been seeing crazy Facebook videos of people driving out the flames and stuff like that. It's wild and it's sad, but I do know from like a little bit of my knowledge on environmental science that a lot of the forest fire, like the really bad ones we've been seeing lately, actually has to do with in previous years us putting them out, because a lot of people don't know that forest fires are supposed to happen. Like, there's literally some trees that cannot reproduce without forest fires. Like, their seeds only open under certain temperatures. And so what we've been doing is we've been disrupting the nature of actually allowing the undergrowth to like burn out, and so it builds up all this like dried up stuff from just like branches falling from like these trees not being burned down, or like pretty much resetting the forest, you know. It just elevates that much more stuff to burn. And so there's a lot more dead material laying around, which is always dry. And so when a fire happens, it's catastrophic at this point, because we don't let it do its natural process, where like they used to just be small fires. Like, it's not like that anymore. I mean, it just has to do with how we civilized it. Yeah.
So do you think that individuals should be building houses next to the in the forest where things are liable to burn up?
Listen, you could build a house wherever you want. You just got to accept the liability. Like, you can't build a house anywhere and not expect to be plagued by natural disaster. Like, here in the Northwest, we got earthquake. Like, that's inevitable. We're going to have a big earthquake at some point. And then, I mean, I guess, like, it floods. It doesn't really flood here anymore, though. Like, California, forest fires, you know, East Coast is storms, which is more global warming. But even before that, like, still storms and stuff like that. So, like, I mean, you just got to pick your poison. But, like, I mean, you can still build a house in the forest, but just know if you're in a really high, I mean, regardless, even in Oregon, we have forest fires, and up in Vancouver, BC, there's forest fires in the summer. So, like, it's bound to happen, but.
Now, what do you think about Trump's statement?
Bro, he's been wilding. Are you talking about his tweet or what?
Yeah, the one where he said he blamed it on California, like he had the necessary, I think he said, allegedly, like, I'm not sure if this is the correct term or if this is how, this is exactly how I said it, but it basically, he was saying that people were saying that he cut budgets for California firefirefighters or something like
that. So his tweet pretty much, because I read it and it came up just like, I was just searching the fire on Google to see how big it got. And it was like one of the first things that popped up, and I was like, oh God, what'd this buffoon have to say? And so I read it and pretty much he was like, this is just, he's like, this is a mismanagement of like our forest. Like, they're doing terrible managing our forest, blah, blah, blah. Like, pretty much blaming it on like the environmental management people, saying like, this is your fault that this happened. When like, you can't, it's no one's fault that a fire, like whoever starts a fire is their fault. Like, it's not like they just have like people in the woods waiting around to put out a fire. Like, that's not realistic. Right. So like, I mean, he's really stupid. So like, he doesn't understand things like that. And then he blamed it. What made it even stupider is he blamed it on him and then said, this is a case of mismanagement. And he said, you better tighten it up or you'll be seeing your funds cut. And I'm like, if you cut funds on the people managing the forest, then there's going to be even more forest fires by your logic, because you're not giving the people money who are supposed to stop it. He doesn't have logic, bro, but that's pretty much what happened. Like, it's really hard to follow his logic. It's actually impossible, I think. But, yeah, it was ridiculous. I don't know where his head was at when he wrote that one.
Yeah, bro. It's wild, man. It's wild. I mean, and another thing I was gonna talk about was, you know, we've been, you know, all the celebrities are telling people to go vote, and I understand that, but in my opinion, I'm kind of scared, because I don't know who's going to go against Trump in 2020, man. And I know people, the Democrats, they don't know as well. Cause it's like,
I mean, that's in two years. Less than 2 years, I guess.
Well, yeah, so now folks need to start getting it together. And people are saying, like, oh, like Joe Biden should do it. But I'm like, man, is 76 years old.
Bro, no one wants that job, bro. Like, no one wants the job of the president, bro. It's not fun.
Well,
like,
I mean, we don't need an 80-year-old president, bro.
Hey, I'll take him over another term of this. I don't care.
Bro, I don't know.
You telling me you'd rather have Trump than Biden?
Nah, but I'm
okay, saying, then, bro, like, that's what I'm saying. Is like, I'd rather have that than...
Will Biden win, though?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. He's not a huge public figure like that, but I mean... I want Oprah to run for president.
Oh my gosh.
She's not going to do that.
I know she's not. I would be so happy if Oprah ran for president.
Or Michelle.
Or Michelle won't do that.
I know. But
just because, like, she won't put her family through that again.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't scare people. Like, bruh, like, because I don't think, like, Barack Obama, yeah, like, Barack Obama, let's get this straight. Barack Obama was young. He was energetic. He was powerful. That was the last time there was a Democrat in office before Clinton, and Clinton was no good. It takes a powerful figure that people look up to for a Democrat to win the presidency. That's what I think, because yeah. I really think that unless the Democratic Party comes with somebody that is just blows Trump out the water, I fear that Trump might win again, bro.
I mean, you also like, got to think too. He has to also like run again on his own side, like get reelected as a candidate for the Republican Party.
Yeah, and a lot of Republicans are upset with him too.
Yeah, so like, there's actually a lot of people unhappy with him, because like, it's kind of crazy how like he actually like messed up and they didn't think it was gonna happen.
Right.
I was like, what'd you expect, bro? I don't know. I feel like any educated mind should have figured
that. Nothing, bro. People are like, the thing that gets to me is like, okay, people are saying like, yo, like, go out and vote, you know, and that definitely helped, like having the Democrats win like that section of the House. But the thing is like, who is gonna represent like that side? Like when it comes,
man,
down,
I'll put in my ballot. Let's go, Jalen. Jalen Ladd, 2020. I'm announcing my president, my run for presidency right now on Cable Radio.
Dell
says she's gonna vote for me.
You already have one vote.
Dale. Let's go. That's where it starts.
Oh, Dell, are you joining in on the conversation?
I can, Tevin, if you'd like. If it's about voting for Jalen, right. I'm down.
No, Dale, I was gonna ask you, like, okay, so you see what I'm talking about, right? Like, it's just I feel like Obama. The repeat. He was such a great figure. He was young. He was energetic. He was hit. People are like, yo, I want to vote for Obama. But I feel like the Democratic Party like just doesn't have that type of person anymore. Like they're talking about it either being like Hillary, Bernie, or Joe Biden. You know, and quite frankly enough, like I just don't feel like they have what it takes to like to win over the whole country, you know, even if the place that we're in now, you know.
I think exactly for the reason you're mentioning, they're not appealing to that younger base. And even when I think Sanders did, I mean, he was still like a very old white man, and all of these, you know, young people were trying to support him. And I think the young people realize that actually they might not need him. Like the women who just won in New York, I forgot her name, and she's now a congressperson. She's like really young, you know working class, you know. And so she started working and organizing for Bernie, and then kind of realized, oh, actually we can do this on our own. You know, you're absolutely right that the Democratic Party is absolutely disconnected from the actual working class base, the actual reality of what's going on. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. It's just like, bruh, they're the top three candidates are gonna be 80 years old, and everybody was like repping, like, you know, Beto, the guy from Texas, but he said like straight up, like, nah, like I'm not running for president,
bro, because no one wants that job, bro.
Yeah,
it's a mad stressful job, like, and it's just gotten worse with like social media and everything. Like, people don't realize that being a president in the social media age is very new.
Yeah, low key.
Very new.
I mean, Obama took some heavy criticism.
He was the first one, I would say. Yeah, because he started in 08. Like, before 08, social media wasn't that big.
You know what's funny is the more and more I look at Bush compared to Trump, I'm just like, Bush was an idiot. Trump was an idiot, but Bush, I don't know how he became president, bro. I don't know how. Like,
you're saying that
Bush was
that Bush is more of a surprise than Trump?
No, it's not a surprise, but you just look at Bush now and he's just like a character, bro. Like, I don't see him making any like tough decisions. Like,
I will say, like, back then, like, I remember, like, we were pretty young, but pretty much a lot of people just saw him as a puppet.
Right.
That's how people saw him. But like, the problem with Donald Trump is they thought he was gonna be a puppet, but he's not. He's not. He's really just doing his own thing and wilding out. Like,
nah, Bush was a puppet. I think Dick Cheney was behind a lot of that stuff. Mm. And there's a movie coming out with Dick Cheney. Actually, I think it might be a spoof. I think it might be real. But you should, if you go to the movies and you see a preview, I forgot what it's called, but it's based on a book or something like that.
You know who I want to run for president? I want Samuel Jackson.
Oh my gosh.
Nah, bruh. Nah.
Yeah, bruh. I want Samuel Jackson, bro.
Honestly,
I'm kidding.
Honestly, I think what it's going to come down to, bruh, is it's just going to come down to, like, these senators or governors, like, in the state. And they're just going to, it's like people are going to put their more trust in who's running their state than actually the president, bruh. I feel like over time in America.
I mean, that's really what's happening right now, is our country's becoming very separated. And I mean, never before, or like not as frequent as before, that states are just pretty much giving the White House a middle finger and saying, well, I know this is y'all rule, but we're not going to follow it. Like, that's straight up what's been happening. Like states will just like deny any type of like, or like won't obey any type of like things they put in place. You know, not all states, but there's been, you know, states stepping up and just being like, we're not going to acknowledge this law. Like, or this executive order, whatever, you know, whatever it may be. I think that's a very valid observation or prediction. Like, I could see that happening. Just like, we just gonna figure out which state got the best laws and go live in that, whatever suits your taste.
That works.
Honestly, like, if we just did like some Europe style stuff where we just made each state its own country, nah, things would get chaotic, bro. We'd end up in another war.
Especially once you get to traveling.
Yeah, that'd be annoying.
Things change up.
Be annoying, yeah.
Wow.
It's not. Man, I am from Europe, where I grew up. Sorry, Ted.
That's different, though. You guys got, like, Europe is...
Then you get to have all kinds of different languages.
That's true.
And cultures.
There already is different languages here.
They are, exactly. But there's still like this American culture that's supposed to unify everything. And that ends up just kind of like...
It's very... Everyone has a different idea of it. Yeah. And that's what the problem is now.
And everybody's smooshed together, you know?
That's very true. I could see that. But I think just...
I mean, is there really like a nation that is I literally like the model, you know, like, you know, why can't,
well, the hard thing, bro,
shit, like
the hard, bro, the hard
but,
thing,
but I feel like every country has its flaws,
bro. The hard thing, like, people will compare America or the U.S. the United States of America to a lot of like European countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd be like, oh, Denmark is blah 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 blah, and I'm like, Denmark is literally like the size of Rhode Island. You know how much easier it is to manage like that area, like the small area. Like, people, I don't think people understand like the size of the U.S. Like, it's bigger than all of Europe. Like, and then like they got all these people under one umbrella. Like, it's almost impossible to satisfy everybody. And
You're not going to.
Like, it's just, and the benefit is that it made us like economic power force. Power force. globally, you know, because like we're just driving everything out of one big country, you know.
Yeah.
All these other places, like, I mean, I can't think of any other like super developed countries where like we would model, like China's like pretty good, but like a lot of people don't like their style of like society doesn't appeal to the average U.S. citizen.
So let me ask you this, bro. Was it that big of a win? I mean, they said like I think like 5 women had won seats at the Senate, and like 2 people were I think one person might have been trans. I forgot the actual results of it, but they were just saying how like diverse these went, like
yeah,
the
no.
people who at one were.
It's crazy. Yeah, they got some good people up in there, just in terms of changing it up and changing the face that's in this that's in the house and whatnot. But I think that is actually a good sign for the next election, because I don't know, I just have a feeling that like no matter who they put on the table for us,
it can't get worse.
We're gonna vote them in. Like if people turned out like that for the Democratic, like what do they call it, the House elections or Senate elections?
House.
Yeah. They no one ever turned out for that, and they did it because it's pretty much everyone's unifying and making like actually getting out there and voting because of how bad they see it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that's gonna change in the presidential election, no matter who you put on that ballot. Like you could put Riley on the ballot, bro. My dog. They're gonna vote him in.
Bruh, I don't know. It's, bruh, see, the thing is, like, I was talking with my homie, and he was saying the difference comes down to Caucasian women. And he was saying that Caucasian women voted in, like, Obama. And then the difference was Caucasian women didn't vote in for Hillary. They voted for Trump. So it all comes down to that. Because, you know, like, black people and Hispanics and all that, they're going to vote opposite of Trump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just like that's what it comes down to. You feel me?
I mean, I don't know too much about the demographics of voting, so I can't touch on that. But, I mean, if it's true, I mean, I guess so. I've heard that theory before plenty of times, that white women run the country.
I mean, bro, like, low-key, like, you know, because you already know that that's always the deciding factor. Because blacks and Latinos are going to vote, whoever's not Trump, but Obama won over white women. Like, and Dale, if you want to bring in and touch on this, like, I think that's true, bro. Like, Obama won over like white women, but I think Hillary didn't do that. You feel me?
Well, so I think that white women end up voting in some ways because they are supporting the men who, you know, are, you know, in their lives. And so a lot of the time they will match, you know, too. And I think this is what a lot of people were talking about in the for Trump, for example, you know, that, yeah, definitely there is a very big, you know, part of the white women, you know, population that, you know, would just like match to that demographic, you know, based on, you know, maybe who they are married to. But as far as whether Obama was able to talk to, you know, white women, you know, I definitely think that he was a family man and he was able to appeal to different kind of folks, you know, folks who are, you know, maybe working class and became middle class, you know, who saw their parents, you know, be working class and become middle class, because that's kind of what Obama is, you know. Like, he was raised by a single mom, you know, his father is an immigrant, you know, kind of things like that. So I think he also appealed to a base that, you know, that maybe Trump is not appealing to. And now Trump is also appealing to the very, I feel like, poorer, you know, community. And I think he is using that a lot, you know. So I don't know if I'm just sharing a lot of insight, but yeah, as a white woman, I agree that, you know, white women end up in some way, you know, voting their way and the way of the country in that way.
There you have it, Dell, speaking on behalf of all white women on the planet. Thank you, Dell.
I was trying to represent my race right.
Okay. Nah. It's I don't know. I'm not gonna stress too much about it. Who are they put on the table? We're gonna see what happens, what they have to offer. Now that you mentioned it is getting a little stressful because it is getting towards that time and there's not too many names being thrown into the bowl. But let's tell we about the half minute point or half hour point. We're gonna play this song real quick. Then we're gonna
go ahead,
and switch topics real quick on them.
Go ahead, man.
Something about some juice.
I got the juice. Chatham's on. Foolies glad I'm home. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my vagabond. Rapper, song, singer, suspended, subpoena. From misdemeanors, dreamer, held back. Says Loki still a dear. And I still shake a bull squat. Praying for my broke. Got city on the come up. Shot that fuckin' Sosa. Shot my fuckin' Fat Trail. Shot my fuckin' Joseph. Playing Buenos Aires while they sleeping Buenos Noches. Wonder if I wrote this. Cause it's so crisp. The most brokest gold stock broker when I solstice. I could win an Oscar. Russian accent Husky. Acid addict cross the avid actor. Shoot. More, maybe I just gotta get suspended more. Hashtag it, get mentions for it. Make you love it, get it trending more. And then act humble, hit some bull that some dude mumble. Wanting to jump door, but let that fucking punk you. No one shit fucking wanna bring guns to the rumbles. But I love y'all so. Don't let the juice spill, pop. Blue pill pop. Till you feel good enough to pop the pop. Shit in the Blue Hills yacht. That one. Drown in the juice. 100 proof get found in the youth. Huggin'. Stop with all the trying to introduce. Everybody know you do. You the new. Huggin'. How's it feel to be you? Yo, no say. I ain't really been myself since right past. I ain't really need that shop class. I ain't really been weak since Pop Smash. I'm a genius. Some Pop Smash. Hit since a Master Jack and Lindsay. Why he can't make me pay. Turn that.
You never tasted paper. Tripped, racing yourself, trying to chase the paper. I just faced a faker. And you love me and Kobe when you make the later. Till you realize everybody in the world ain't gonna face the Lakers. And then everybody wanna sip. So the juice spill, everybody wanna bib. And then everybody wanna dip. Told you I ain't worried, I ain't scared of the boot. All you can do is spit a verse of the truth. Merge the mixture with the carrots, the fruits, and the thirst is the worst. The curse of the juice.
I got the juice.
Hey, y'all didn't know y'all had Chance in the studio today. No, I'm kidding. I was Chance the Rapper, Juice. That was my favorite song in high school, bro. You remember we used to ride around town?
Acid rap.
Yeah, is Tevin still on?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Actually, I'm actually going to ask, bruh, so Netflix is coming up with a streaming show that's basically going to be like a TV show, like finding the next great like singer, rapper,
oh,
whatever.
Dumb. I don't support any of those shows.
Why not?
Because, bro, it's...
There's social media now.
Yeah, it's... Think about American Idol. That's literally what they're doing, but they're making a Netflix series. Like, it's not going to be real... Like, I doubt it'll be real talent, and like, there might be a few people come out of it, but I don't like that at all. I'm sorry. I'm just like a hater about that whole like we gonna make a whole like TV show. Like maybe is it like actual? They're taking actual people or like it's gonna just be like a in theory like.
Nah, bro. It's gonna be like people come out audition
like reality. Okay, yeah. I don't like that. I hate that.
Yeah, they gonna
But you never know, though. That could switch it up because they're going to have Cardi B, T.I., and Chance the Rapper.
Oh, that's like what that was about? That I saw that on social media. I didn't know it was going to be a Netflix. I think it's dumb, bro. Like, I don't know. I feel like if you really are about that music life, you go through the struggle of, like, building up your own fan base and, like, starting from the bottom.
You tripping, bro.
That's just my perception of it. Like, I don't, bro, you got to understand, bro. Like, these people, I mean, they're going to probably come in and, you know.
But you know how many people have gotten big?
Listen, Tevin, you know how many people got robbed? Okay.
Robbed hell.
Bro, because when you come up under that stuff, you're owned. You don't get credit for your upbringing. You're owned, bro. Like, you don't, like, I don't know, like, how they're going to do this one. I doubt they'll own, like, all this stuff. They're probably going to sign them to a deal. You're not going to be, you're going to be a music slave, bro. Like, I don't like it at all. I'm sorry.
But not everybody want to be, but not everybody want to be independent, though.
Not everyone wants to be independent. Maybe, that's true. But that, like, if you don't want to be independent, then you don't want to have longevity in your career. I mean, you could, if you're with a good label, then yes, work. But, like, how I see this, bro, especially since it's a TV show, they're just going to do with it. And once when the TV show is cut and dry, they're going to be irrelevant unless they could maintain that hype on their own.
But nah, bro. So how I see it is exposure, bro. Because how I see it is this. Say Chance finds somebody that's really, really, really good, right?
Okay.
Chance is going to work with him, put him on, and maybe help him through artist development throughout his career. Say Cardi B finds somebody. Say T.I. finds somebody. That's the main point that people are going on there for, is not to be signed to a contract deal. It's for exposure, bro. And, like, when people watch this, that's what half these people do, is they're just trying to get on the show for exposure so somebody can see their talent.
Of course, yeah.
You never know who's watching. You know,
of course,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And Chance the Rapper, you know how happy he is to help somebody out. He might see somebody with a crazy story and hustle, and he might put them on. You feel me? So I feel you, what you're saying, like, you're against it because they're a slave to it.
Bro,
it's not always about who wins, though, bro. It's about who gets noticed. You feel me?
I mean, regardless, I feel like you're just commercializing the process, and it becomes less authentic at that point.
It's gonna be called rhythm and flow.
Yeah, it's called rhythm and flow. If you're you're commercializing the process, and it's not gonna be authentic. Like, I mean, I'm not saying no one's gonna come out of it, but I'm just saying, like, why can't they just do this without a TV show?
Why can't who do it without a TV show?
Why can't all these people get together and do their own thing? Like, just make it their own program without a TV show.
Like Chance the Rapper and Cardi B?
Yeah, and T.I. I think it is too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why does it have to be a TV show is what I'm asking.
Hey, bruh. Netflix probably came up with the idea and came to them and said, hey, are y'all with it? I think it's just trying to help young people find talent. It's really just trying to help people discover talent, bro. Like, I don't think it's out of, like, hey, we're just going to try to rob these people. But I think, like if Victor went on a show, right? Victor was like, hey, bro, I'm about to just submit my music. And he gets in, right? And then all of a sudden, like, he gets discovered by Chance, and Chance starts working with him, right? We're not going to hate on Victor for going on the show and be like, oh, bro, like, you selling out, you trying to get... It's like, nah, bro, like, just see what happens. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a ton of young artists out there who are willing and ready to do that, to sing in front of Chance the Rapper and rap and show their bars, because you never know what could happen off that. Not saying that they're going to get $1 million deal, but it's just like, yo, to actually have somebody big like a Chance the Rapper, Cardi B, or T.I. and say, hey, bro, like, hit this person up, and let's get some things cracking. It's not like Netflix trying to steal the check or any of that, bro. I think Netflix is actually just trying to give people a platform. Do you feel me?
No, I think they're getting the check, but on the rest of the stuff, Netflix don't care, bro. If they would have came with this idea and they didn't think it was going to sell, they wouldn't care about it.
Hey, bro, there's plenty of dumb shows out there on Fox and ABC.
For sure,
but,
for sure they are.
But if we didn't have an American Idol, bro, we wouldn't have a Fantasia or a Kelly Clarkson or... We wouldn't have... What's the name of the group?
I can live without
One
a Fantasia
Direction.
Or
we wouldn't
Kelly
have
Clarkson.
We wouldn't have that.
One Direction came from American Idol?
One Direction came from Your favorite, a spinoff from American Idol.
Who's Got Talent or whatever. I didn't know that, actually.
Like, a bunch of stars came from that, bruh. And they don't, and like I said, it's just, and I think Kehlani came from, like, X Factor or something like that. That's how she got really put on, was, like, she went on that show, and then somebody, I think Nick Cannon, there you go, Nick Cannon discovered Kehlani, bruh. And he's not, I don't think Kehlani is signed to Nick Cannon. I think Nick Cannon just helped discover her. You know what I'm saying? Because she was on one of them shows. You feel me?
I guess so, man. I'm just saying I personally don't like it. I'm not saying it's not going to be helpful. I'm just saying I don't really like it.
So you don't like shows like American Idol?
No.
How
especially
come?
That. I mean, because at some point, it becomes about making it a show rather than helping the artist, because you're going to want to create something that sells. If you, there could be someone that's really talented, right? Super, super talented.
Yeah.
Like, could be the most talented person that goes on the show. But if they're socially awkward, they don't know how to talk to people, because a lot of talented artists out there maybe don't have the social skills to go out in front of camera or the courage to do that. And they could get scrutinized out there, shamed, or whatever. I mean, I don't think they're ever going to be mean to them, but you know,
but
like.
But it's a choice, Gene. It's a choice to go out there.
I know it's a choice.
You feel me?
I know it's a choice. But Tevin, guess what? Not everyone who's. What I'm trying to get at is not everyone who's going to. Not the best people will get a shot, possibly. You know what I'm saying? There could be someone, like, let's say 150 people submit their music to get on the show. Let's say, oh, so-and-so super talented, but they don't have the look we want, blah, 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 blah. They don't have a good enough story.
The main basis of it, okay. You're not watching the shows then, bro, because I've seen people who have had battles. I'm talking about people who have been in fires, bro, who have literally, like, had half their face burnt off, and they've literally made it, like, to the finals.
Because that's a story. But I'm saying, like, it's some plain Jane mofo person coming there.
Bruh, there's been plenty. You gotta watch it, bro.
Whatever. Anyway, I don't care. I don't care about this, Tevin. I really don't. On to the other topic we was gonna talk about. I'm about to say Tevin's getting a check, bro. Dell's not here to save you. She ran out. It's just me and you, and we're not talking about this no more. We're moving on, Tevin. We're moving on.
I'm just saying, you gotta watch, bro. You gotta watch, like, take your time and watch, like, America's Got Talent or whatever.
I hate those shows so much, bro.
Yeah, bro. Y'all hating on them, bro. Let them get their money.
My thing is, all they have to do is make a freaking Instagram page or a YouTube channel, and if you have talent, you're gonna get followers. And if you get followers, the right person's gonna find you. So
Amen.
It's like, why do you need these shows? And half the time, like, I'm just thinking about when I used to watch American Idol back in the day. Man, especially when it was, like, the local points, it was a joke. Like, it would be about, like, who can get on the show and act the goofiest and, like, represent their city in the stupidest way possible.
I don't think the show would be like that.
They be trying to, it's like you got one shot and they gonna make it, bro. People be having these dope stories, you feel me? And yeah, it do be fabricated sometimes, but when people got these dope stories, I'm like, hey, man, I was homeless at one point, but now I'm on here. People be bringing their dogs, bro. They be going crazy tricks.
People bring their dogs.
That's what I'm saying, bro. It's like, bro, like I said,
Tevin, I don't care. I don't care about it. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to go watch it.
Hey, bro,
I've seen it before. I don't really care. Like, it doesn't entertain me that much. Like, I'm all about the backstory. It's cool. And, like, when it comes on and someone else is watching it, I'll enjoy it. But it's not going to be my number one. I'm not going to go home tonight and watch that.
Hey, bro. When Victor gets popping off this Chance the Rapper stuff, then
I'll watch
him
just because Cardi's there.
I'll watch Victor's episode.
Jalen said that you fake for going on there. You trying to say it easy, right?
Hey, listen, I will watch that show if Kobe goes on there, but that's about it.
Honestly, it's gonna be cool just because of the people that are hosting. Like,
that's about
that'll
it.
That'll
be
the best part.
To me. I mean, that's what gives me hope for it. That's the only thing that gives me hope for it.
Still gonna watch it.
I'm not, Tevin. I don't even watch Game of Thrones. What makes you think I'm gonna turn this on? Like,
because you are, bro. Watch.
I'm not.
Let me just go watch it.
I'm not tuning in. I'm not tapping in. I'm not doing any of that.
But you know who's about to be local?
Who's about to be local?
Blueface is coming to Portland. Or, sorry, Tacoma, not Portland.
Oh,
that's, you know who that is? Further.
Who's Blueface?
Blueface, baby. Tevin,
do you know who that is? Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Tatiana.
No, Amantha, we're not. No, that's not happening.
What? You don't want
to
go?
I'm not going to that Ratchet Fest.
Tevin, are you going to go? Are you going to take Kayla? You guys should go.
Kayla don't listen to music.
I've heard Bruh's song on Vince Staples radio station, and I can tell you that is old school classic Ratchet, yes, like YG type, yep, of type, no, of Ratchet. Real.
It is. Like, he made that in his house in a closet. Like,
oh, for real? It's like,
nah, but it sound like he did. It was not in no professional studio.
It's hilarious. I'm excited.
But Tevin, what I wanted to get to real quick, just for this last 15 minutes or so, me and Matthew was talking about a little bit ago, just, you know, the general attitude and perception of millennials, like us as a generation, the perception of us has been casted down from the older generations. Because I don't know, I feel like I see a lot of negative stuff out there in just social media and in the news and stuff like that. Like, the hot topic to blog about or like write a news story on, it's like, millennials are now doing this, blah 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 blah. Everyone's all up in our business, what's going on? Like, I don't know, do you have any specific things you want to touch on about that,
bro? Because we the lab rats, bro.
We are for sure the lab rats. We are the lab rats.
In a lot,
true,
of ways.
Yeah,
from the
people
medical
don't
industry.
People forget, like, bro, Silicon Valley is people older than us, bro. And what they're doing is they're coming up with these apps and funding these apps and stuff. And they're seeing how we're going to react to it. How are we reacting to Instagram? True. How are we reacting to Facebook? How are we reacting to Twitter? How are we reacting to things, Uber, Lyft? How are things moving faster and faster and faster? Apple. We are the lab rats, bro. And I hate to say it, but these younger kids now who are younger than us, they're the new lab rats, bro. Because now these kids are 5 years old using the iPhones and stuff, bro. So it's just like, the thing is, like, we want things so fast and so quick. There's no longer ever going to be a process, bro. Like, think about it. If we want to get from point A to point B without driving, there's people who no longer even think about owning a car, bro. Like, I understand people getting around on transportation. Like, some people are just like, nah, what's the point of having a car when you got Uber?
I mean, that's been like New York with taxis.
No.
But I get what you're saying. Like, it's more of a mainstream.
I'm talking about, like, there's people here in Portland who I've talked to who are like, nah, what's the point of having a car, like, when you got a Lyft? And it's just like, now it's like, pretty soon, bro, like,
because people are, I feel like, cheaper, training,
like, people, I feel like it's going to even hurt kids on learning how to drive, bro. Like, I know that's dramatic.
Yo, I talked about that, actually. I mean, for all we know, they don't even need to learn how to drive because we got these self-driving cars.
But we've already seen it in other ways.
Yeah.
Like, we were just talking about how, you know, this guy at my job used a typewriter in college. And he was, like, talking about how that was his present, you know, right after graduate high school. And I was like, oh, my present was a MacBook Pro. And it was just kind of like, wow. Like,
it elevates.
Totally,
man,
different. But he was also saying, he was like, my handwriting is way better than, like, younger people,
of
because
course.
You guys don't write, which is interesting too, because, like, my little cousins are bringing home tablets and stuff to do their homework with, and it's like, what?
They don't even have to really write. I will say, I mean, just from my job experience, like, good handwriting is not necessarily uniform across the older generation. Like, people are trash at writing still. But yeah, for sure. But I don't know, I would say the one thing that bothers me most is, like, when people talk down about the generation, like, oh, millennials are lazy, blah 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 blah, and I'm like, y'all made us. Do y'all realize that?
Lazy. We are lazy, bro. Like,
I get really mad when they talk about it. I'm like, we are your kids. Like, y'all made us. Like, you act like,
no,
like,
they didn't. No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
Society did, bro.
What, bro?
Society did.
Your parents have ultimate authority to choose what you intake and outtake and whatever comes in.
Nah, I see what you mean off that.
And I know society controls a lot of it. But I mean, if we're going to talk about generation, who develops a society? A generation. Okay, so if we're talking generation specific.
But you gotta realize, like, our generation, when people are designing these apps, like, it's literally to do things at a faster, like, less struggle at a faster
rate. That's always been a thing. That's always been a thing, regardless. But you're bringing it back to, like, social media and apps and stuff like that, which I feel like for sure it ties into like the whole theme of instant gratification and not respecting the process and blah blah blah. But people don't take a step back to realize the conditions, you know, aside from that, just like the condition, the general conditions. Like if you take away that process, right, the like having to actually go through the process of like, you know, people like when our parents were in school, like grandparents, they had to go to the library to go study because that's why the books were, they have no internet, whatever, you know, you take that away, for sure it might make someone lazier, but then you make the conditions even harder to do stuff just in general, like in life function as an adult. It's not gonna be pretty, bro. Like that's what I'm saying, from a generational standpoint, you can't come at another generation when you were the ones that came before them and shaped the world that they live in now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I got you. All I'm saying is it's gonna be bad for the kid. I hate to see what it's gonna be like for our kids and grandkids.
Well, I mean, I think the other thing people don't take into account too is like, you know, things are easier to get to, you know, instant gratification and whatnot, but having that allows you to intake a lot more information than we were ever capable of intaking as humans. Mm-hmm. So they will be more advanced than us in a lot of ways. So in terms of like processing information just mentally, like you could go, the fact that like as a child growing up, you could go from reading one book to another just with a swipe, like a few swipes, you know. Mm-hmm. And just like, I mean, not saying like everyone's gonna be reading books, but like the potential that it has in like education and like actually developing youth's brains, mm-hmm. is pretty like phenomenal. Just like, I mean, you see like the amount of information we consume just from like just garbage, you know, like on Instagram and stuff like that. Like it's a ridiculous amount. And so, I mean, I think a lot of people neglect to acknowledge the positive, mm-hmm. implications that could come from this advancement in technology.
But I also think it makes people, I think our memories kind of fall short in a sense, because we don't have to memorize as much stuff like directions, phone numbers, things like that that we used to have to do.
For sure. I would say there's a compromise.
And then if things aren't handed to them, to us, especially, I mean, you know, the younger generation, I think they'll like have a hard time figuring things out. Like if we don't, if they don't have access to the internet, they're not going to be able to like go in a you know how many kids don't know how to like find books in a library?
I mean, you don't need to.
I mean, in college, I did.
Think about like this. Think about this. That's like, imagine someone saying, you know how many kids aren't going to know how to ride a horse when the car came out? You don't need to know how to ride a horse. The library will be obsolete. You know, like we're so attached to it because that's what we grow with. But like a lot of these things we're saying they won't be able to do, they won't need to do them. Straight up, like you won't need, like, what would be the purpose of knowing directions if everything's going to be automated and self-driving?
If that stuff, technology fails, things fail.
Yeah, for sure, things fail. Anything could collapse underneath us right now. You know, mm-hmm.
That's why.
If all technology and everything failed right now, only a few people would be able to, like a small percentage of the world, be able to survive. Because not many people know how to survive out in nature. Like that's literally what you'd be doing, and then like, I guess having guns and stuff like that. But like, yeah, no, it's. I mean, that's just my perspective on it, is like people always talk about like all these things they'll be lacking, but like they'll be like, it's a compromise, like you're giving up stuff that's becoming obsolete.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel you.
Now when you get to talk about like psychological and like social implications that come from it, that's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of just having to deal with people and socialize with society, because I haven't read too many studies lately on it, but from what I remember, from what I have read, is like just having that much screen time and being behind a computer screen and interacting with other people via the internet or on a screen is not the same thing as like in-person interactions. A lot of people get bold on the internet. We already know that right now. Like,
oh my gosh.
That stuff is crazy. No, I'm not looking at you.
Oh, like I was like, dang.
No, people get bold on the internet, and I mean, I think that's
no,
like,
for real.
I think that'll be one issue for the next generation, is being confrontational or being authentic to like finding like a self identity, you know?
Like, I want somebody to do research on people who slide in DMs if they would do it in person if they saw the person.
Oh man, hands down, no.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like, it restricts basic social.
You know, the old form of sliding in DMs was. So, like, right now, a DM slide happens from, like, you follow them, mm-hmm. they follow you back.
They like a couple pictures.
They like a couple pictures.
You like a couple pictures.
Boom. The slide is open.
Right.
Old form was, like, you go into a bar or something, whatever social situation, and you give a look, and they give a look, and then you're like, maybe that was just on accident. And then you catch another look, and then you catch another
look. You're like, nah, this.
And they're like, and then the slide is open. And then the slide is open. It's just a different form. It's just reformatted. But people are saying way more flagrant things and are getting way more creative with what they do.
Right.
It's hilarious.
But like even like shy people, like
I saw the funniest one I saw the other day. I saw one. It said like P48. And the person responded like, what? They're like, oh, my bad. I thought this was a vending machine because you're looking like a snack. I was dead. Bruh, I lost it. I was like, that's creative. That's clever.
I'm done.
But I don't know. Tevin, how do you feel in general just about like the attitude towards our generation? You feel like it's justified or?
This one. Yeah.
You there, Tevin?
Yeah.
I was just asking, you know, like how do you deal with like that, I would say, adversity that comes with like negative, or have you even experienced it, like negative opinions about our generation?
Bro, to keep it honest, it doesn't really affect me a whole lot.
Okay.
Because I know that with what I'm doing is just trying to like make the next generation better.
For sure, for sure.
So it's just like whether that's
why you with
coaching
kids.
Coaching kids and letting them know what's good, or even speaking to like younger homies who are like 18, 19, or you know what I'm saying? Like kids like 11, 12. But yeah, bro, I mean, these kids nowadays, like things are moving. Kids have such access to like technology and resources, bro. It's crazy. Like one of these little kids that, you know, works at my school, or at the school I work at, you know, he comes to school and he says a lot of stuff, and I'm like, man, like, you know, where are you learning this stuff from? And he was just saying like, you know, his siblings, because he was saying his parents, like, they don't really know English that well. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
you know, when you have kids that, like, you know, that generation is saying, like, kids saying like, yo, the TV raised me, like, nah, bro, that's legit real. Like,
it's very true. I was just thinking about the other day, like how like augmented my perception reality was from just watching television as a kid and seeing what it's like in real life. It's not the same, and it's like it's almost more exaggerated. But we're actually headed to the end mark of the show, Tevin. I think we're at 56. We got like a couple minutes left or so, but we're gonna close it out. You have anything quick thing to say?
Nah, man, I'm just glad I could sit down on an episode, and I look forward to bouncing back and coming back to the show, man, real soon.
Saying, I'm glad you called in. For now,
good, man.
It's goodbye. We'll be back next Wednesday, 7 p.m., same time, Combined Culture Radio.
You said Monday or Wednesday?
Wednesday, man, Wednesday.
Okay, I was finna say, I was like, bro, I don't know if we're on Mondays, man.
Telling them W's and the M's, man. I'm kidding. All right, bro. I'll catch you later, Tub. Peace out, boy.
Peace. Didn't
sleep, never lied on the beach. Just started off in 96. Heart taken from my ribs. I tell her, go, I flick wrist. Show no love, now that's a risk. Fuck your other man, try and get me, but he missed.
As it going, as it going.
Fuck it, see no evil. Standing coke is a deal. Stick up, stack up with my people. Nothing to lose. And I don't sit down, I don't stick around, I stick up and move. And if I hold the light, shine it bright on my cool.
Top five.
Tell them it's not me, it's you.
Yeah.
That's why I make tune after tune after tune. That's why they all read it up, they rewind it. You're gonna blow, it's just timing. I rap, cause I'm from no sirens, just sirens and the guns and violence. Went red, did I make you upset when you looked at me? You said I'd be a shake, well I could've been. Fuck that, chase paper, chase dream. Look, mama, step clean. Me and my team, we know what it means to survive. Back then, no asking polite. The man then will scar him for life. Said he was a good-hearted kid, but in the field when you're strapped, there's no asking, could I, would I? You're straight eye for an eye, but look how you're both blind. Kinda sad that he died, but look how your boy rise.
Your man them are getting too close.
Careful how you approach me or my bros, yeah. Bitch, move slow. So many men that wanna take my glow, they know that they read it up, they rewind it. Yo,
are from no sirens, just sirens and the guns and violence.
It's coming. It's almost here.
It's the next GiveGuard Big Give Day, Thursday, November 15th. There's no wrong time to give to KBOO. KBOO has real people making live radio all day, every day.
But when you give to KBOO in the Give Guide this Thursday, November 15th, you'll be entered into a raffle to win a Tender Loving Empire vinyl package, plus a year's worth of Laughing Planet.
If you're 35 or under, you'll also be entered into another raffle for a second gift package.
Go to kboo.fm/give on Thursday, November 15th to contribute.
That's kboo.fm/give this Thursday for your chance to win.
Support KBOO.
Where music makes the movement. Tune in
and turn up.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Portland Folk Music Society's concert season, which this month features the Honey Whiskey Trio, November 16th, 7:30 p.m. at the Reedwood Friends Church in Southeast Portland.
The train I ever did ride was 100 coaches.
Through harmony, melody, instruments, and body percussion, these three women weave their music. They won the 2013 Harmony Sweepstakes National Competition. That's the Honey Whiskey Trio, Friday, November 16th.
Oh, Lord, in me, I said so, Lord.